thou goest. Now that's a bold statement, right? That's a bold statement. He just lays it out. Wherever you go, that's where I'll go. I will follow you. It does not matter where you go. I will follow you. And personally, I believe that should be our mindset as saved people. Our mindset, our desire should be to follow him wherever it is he wants us to go. But look at what Jesus said to this man. It's interesting, he doesn't start jumping up and down and saying, oh, all right, I'm so glad you feel that way. Come on along with me. Look at what he says to him. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know what he's doing? He's bringing this fellow to reality. No doubt the man had in his mind, he had worked it up in his mind. We do that, don't we? We work up these things in our mind about how we think a thing or a situation is going to play itself out. We have this mental picture, and oftentimes what we have in our mind is not reality. It's not how it really is, and unfortunately we find that out too late sometimes. Well, Jesus lets the man know up front, okay, you're going to follow me whithersoever I go. This is what you better understand about following me. You better understand that I don't even have what the foxes and the birds have. Those foxes have holes. The birds have nests. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. So if you're going to follow me wherever I go, understand it's not going to always be easy. And the same is true for you. Same is true for me. If you choose to follow him, it's not going to always be easy. It's going to take you to some dark places sometimes. Difficult times. And I'm going to show you that this morning. First of all, look with me right here at Matthew chapter 8 where we read a few moments ago. And I want you to notice here that if you choose to be a follower of Jesus Christ, he's going to lead you to some storms. He is going to lead you to some storms. This is reality now. Look at verse 23. And when he, the Lord Jesus, was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. So they're following the Lord. And if you go to Mark's gospel and also Luke's gospel, the companion passages to the one we're reading right here in Matthew chapter 8, you'll see that Jesus specifically said to these men, he said, let us go over unto the other side. He is the one that told them that they needed to leave where they were and go to the other side. So it says there, verse 23, his disciples followed him. You know what they're doing? They're doing exactly what they were told to do. These men are not being rebellious. They're not being stubborn. They're not being pig-headed and insisting on having things their way and doing what they want. They're listening to the commands of their master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and doing exactly what he told them to do. He said, let us go over to the other side. You know what they do? They get in the ship with him. Look at verse 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Tempest is a violent wind that oftentimes is accompanied with some type of precipitation, whether it be rain or snow or sleet or whatever the case might be. But it's a very violent wind. Here's these men just doing what their Lord told them to do. Do you understand this morning that you can be right smack dab in the middle of God's will and find yourself in a storm? Do you understand that truth? If you follow him long enough, faithfully enough, I'm telling you, sooner or later, he's going to lead you into a storm. He's going to do it. Now, we might try to blame it on the devil or whoever the case, but I'm telling you, there'll be times in your life as a saved person where if you follow him, he's going to lead you into a storm. These men did what Jesus told them to do, and the next thing you know, they're right smack dab in the middle of not just a little storm, but the Bible says a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Mark's gospel says he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. He's asleep. He's not worried. He's not fretting. He's not bothered. And by the way, he knew exactly what was going on. But here's these disciples just following Jesus. That's what they're doing. What's the great sin? They're just following Jesus Christ. That's what they're doing. And then they find themselves right in the middle of a storm. If you follow him faithfully, you will be led to a storm. Sometimes you're going to have financial storms. Sometimes you're going to have family storms. Sometimes there'll be physical problems, emotional, be job related. It could be any number of things. If you can just be going along, following Jesus, and the sun shining bright, and the wind calm, bluebird skies, everything seems like it's all right. And then just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you find yourself in the middle of a storm. That is reality in life for those that follow Jesus Christ. Find yourself in storms. I wonder why this happens. You think, well, if he loves me and he cares about me, he wants what's best for me, why? Why? Why would he ever lead me into a storm if he really loves me? We have this mindset, this attitude about us that if he loves us, then he'll never, ever, ever allow anything difficult or bad to happen to us. But the truth is, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's just something that we make up in our mind. I don't know why, but we do. Reality is that if you follow him, there will be times when you find yourself in a storm, in a dark, difficult place. And why is it that the Lord takes us to those places? Well, there's really a whole lot of reasons, to be honest. For example, one reason he takes us into storms is for revelation. Revelation. The Lord takes us into storms so he can reveal some things to us, number one, about our own selves. Storms reveal weaknesses, flaws in our character, problems that we have, things that need to be better. You ever notice how when winds come through and you have trees in your yard, and I know this all too well. I got trees all in my yard. And when the wind comes through and it blows a little bit, and especially when it gets hard, you know what happens? I look out in my yard and there's limbs everywhere in my yard. Monday, I cut my yard. It looked so beautiful. I pulled the lawnmower under the shed. 10 minutes after I got off the lawnmower, a storm came through and my yard was a disaster. There was limbs and leaves everywhere. But you know what they were? I noticed because I went around and picked them up. You know what they were? They were rotten limbs. When that storm came through, it just blew out what was rotten, what was messed up. And that's what storms do. The Lord uses those things to reveal stuff in our lives that are rotten, things that don't need to be there. And I know it's hard for us to admit that we got some rotten stuff on the inside, but everybody in here, including the preacher, has got some rotten stuff that needs to be gone from our lives. And he uses those storms to reveal that stuff. Look right here. What did he reveal to these disciples? Verse 26. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? You know a problem they had? They didn't have enough faith, right? Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? He revealed to them through this storm that their faith was not where it needed to be, and he reveals that stuff so that hopefully we can do what needs to be done to correct the problem. So storms are for revelation. It's to reveal things about ourselves. They're also for revelation so he can reveal things about himself. Himself. There's things we need to know about him. Not just things we need to know about ourselves, but things we need to know about him that perhaps we don't know right now. Look at this same passage right here. Verse 26, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? You know what they realized? This isn't just some ordinary man here. The winds and the sea obey him. He's the master of the sea. He's the one in charge. They got some revelation, not just about themselves, but about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand this morning? I hope you'll understand that if you never go through a storm that is beyond your control, if all you go through is stuff that you somehow can manage your way through, if you don't ever go through something that is out of your control, that you cannot handle, you will never learn by experience what your God's able to do. But when you go through something that is beyond your control, you don't have the answer, you don't have the solution, and you know that if he doesn't intervene, you going down. Ever been there? Let me tell you something. When you go through that, when you go through a storm like that, that you don't have the resources to deal with, and you get to see him do what he can do, man, it reveals to you the kind of God you serve. And that's revelation that all of us need. Storms are for revelation. I believe they're also for removal. For removal. To take some things away. I mentioned it just a moment ago. We all have some things in our lives that don't belong. Things that just don't need to be there. The Lord uses those storms to remove some of that stuff. Because sometimes we're stubborn. Amen. Because we're pig-headed. And listen, sometimes, like the Bible says, we're just stout-hearted and rebellious. Because we won't remove that stuff that he's put his finger on time and time again. He's been gracious. He's been patient. He's been long-suffering. And he's talked to us through our Bible reading and through the preaching of the Word of God. And he said, look, that's something that needs to be gone. You need to get rid of that. And because we're stout-hearted and rebellious, or we just keep on giving in and we won't get rid of it, you know what he has to do? He has to bring something along that can blow that mess out of our lives. It's for removal. You think about when, like, say, a tornado or a hurricane comes through. When those things come through, before they come through, there's stuff that's there, right? Trees, buildings, whatever the case might be. When they come through and they're gone, the storm leaves, a lot of that stuff that was there before no longer exists, does it? That storm just blows it away. It's gone. It removes stuff that's been there, and it's been there, some of it, for years and years and years. And some of us Christians, we got stuff in us. It's been there for years and years and years, and God's dealt with us over and over and over again, and we won't get rid of it, and we won't get rid of it. So what does he do? Not because he hates us, but because he does love us, he does care about us, he'll bring a storm to blow that garbage out of our lives. It's removal. In our mind, we think, well, if he loves us, he'll never let anything bad happen. No, the very reason why he allows a lot of it is because he does love us. He's trying to help us get that junk out that doesn't need to be there. So if you follow him, I can promise you, sooner or later, you'll find yourself in a storm. But number two, let me say this. Not only will he lead you to storms, but if you follow him, he will lead you to suffering. He will lead you to suffering. And in this instance, I'm talking here about spiritual suffering. I'm not talking about physical suffering. I'm talking about spiritual suffering. If you follow him faithfully, I promise you, you will be led to suffering for Jesus' sake. Let me show you some scripture here. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. We'll look at a couple of passages, but I want you to turn first to John chapter 15. We're going to come back to Matthew in just a moment. I want you to look here at John chapter 15 with me. John chapter 15, and let's start reading in verse 19. John 15, 19. Jesus says to his disciples, to his followers, the ones that had stayed with him and continued to follow him, if ye were of the world would love his own. Can I say something to you this morning? If the world is pleased with you, you're not where you need to be with God this morning. Jesus said, if ye were of the world would love his own. The world does not love saved people that follow Jesus Christ. The world loves people that acts like the world, okay? If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. This is what he said. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Now we're the servant and he's the Lord, right? And the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, let me ask you something. Did they persecute him? Yeah, you better believe it. So what does he say? He says, if they have persecuted me, and they did, they will, not they might, but they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. He's going to lead you to some suffering. Go back to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. You follow him, you become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll be suffering. There'll be persecution. He said, if that's how they treated me, that's how they're going to treat you. There's no question about it. It's something that every Christian will have to deal with. Every follower of Jesus Christ will have to deal with. Matthew chapter 5. This is part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount here. Verse 10, Jesus says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, look at it, when. Notice he says when. He doesn't say if, does he? He says when. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Look at it, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 9, Jesus said this. He said, ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. One other scripture I want to reference. 2 Timothy 3:12, I've quoted it to you many times before. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now that's a promise from the Bible that if you live godly, you shall suffer persecution. This is why I started out the message by saying that if you're a follower of him, sometimes it's not going to be easy. If you choose to follow him, there will be spiritual suffering. There'll be persecution. You will be hated. You will be reviled. Men will lie about you. He said they will say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. You say, would somebody actually just tell a lie about me? You better believe they will. Just tell a lie about you. For what reason? Just because they don't love the God you serve. That's why. For his name's sake. The fact that you line up with him, that you follow him, just because you do that, people will lie about you, persecute you, revile you, slander you. Many of them will forsake you and not have anything else to do with you as long as you follow Jesus Christ. That's reality. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. You know, there were people who said, Jesus, we're going to follow you. And they started following him along there. And then one day, you read it in John chapter 6, he started preaching. He preached a message, a powerful message. And at the end of that thing, you know what it says? It says, many of them went back and walked with him no more. Just turned their back on him. Because they did not like what he had to say. He preached a sermon and they didn't like it, so they decided we're not going to follow him anymore. They turned away from him. I'm telling you, if you follow him, there's going to be people who do not like what you stand for. They're not going to like the convictions that you have, the doctrine that you believe, where you stand in your life as a believer. They're not going to appreciate that. And many of those people are not going to have anything to do with you. They're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think that you went off the deep end, you know, went too far. You know what some of them said about Jesus? They said he was mad, lost his mind, he's crazy. You ever had anybody say that about you? I had some people when I got right with the Lord and got in church and turned away from a lot of that garbage that I was involved in, people thought I'd lost my mind. They thought all that dope I smoked had burnt my mind. Crazy. Crazy person. There are people who are going to disassociate themselves with you simply because you make the choice to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And maybe you're sitting there waiting for me to bring some good news in on this. Here's the only good news I can give you about that. It's what Jesus said right here in Matthew chapter 5. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, not down here. I can't stand here and give you a whole lot of good news and say that everything's going to be great if people turn. No, what I can tell you, though, is that if you keep on following him and being faithful, you may not get a whole lot down here, but great will be your reward in heaven. That's his promise to you. So just keep on following. One more thing that I want to say to you this morning. Not only will he take you to suffering and take you to storms, but last of all, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he will take you to sacrifice. He will take you to sacrifice. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ went. After living on this earth, as most of us believe, for a little over 33 years, you know where he went? He went to a cross and he laid down his life. That's where he went. The Lord Jesus Christ, after those years of ministering and teaching and preaching and doing good for so many people, he goes to a cross and he lays down his life. The Bible says in the book of Philippians that he became obedient unto death. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Not just any death, but the death of the cross. Why did he become obedient unto death? Because that was the will of his heavenly Father, right? I mean, not long before that, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying and he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. His Father did not let that cup pass from him. It was his Father's will that he drink that bitter cup of sacrifice. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He took that cross. Colossians tells us that he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and contrary to us. He took it out of the way, the Bible says, nailing it to, listen, his cross. His cross. There was a cross just for him. And he took that cross. The Bible says he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That's what it says. A cross made out of a tree. It's an interesting thing when you get to thinking about it. The Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of everything, right? You know what he did? He created the tree that would one day become his cross. He did that. He created that tree. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, the Bible says. He made the very tree that he knew one day he would hang on and die for the sins of the world. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And you know what he said about us. He said we're to take up what? Our cross. Just like his father had a cross for him, he's got a cross for you. And this thing that I'm talking about right here is why many Christians, many saved people, don't follow the Lord. Or it's why many stop following the Lord. They don't mind if he leads them to the synagogue. They don't mind if he leads them to a place of prayer and solitude. They don't mind if he leads them to service. They don't even mind, some of them, if he leads them to soul winning. But when it comes time to die on that cross, now that's a whole other ball game. They don't want that. They don't want that sacrifice. And I'm not talking about literally dying on a cross, although some of his followers did literally die on a cross. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you taking up that personal cross that belongs to you and sacrificing yourself. Why does he tell us to take up a cross? Why does he bring us to a place of sacrifice? Well, I can tell you, number one, one reason is so you'll die to self. Die to self. You know why a lot of us Christians have such a weak, shallow, defeated Christian life? Why we're not enjoying that abundant life like he said he came for us to have? It's because self is calling the shots. Self is in charge, not the Savior. Self is in charge. Self is calling the shots. We're living for self, and as long as self is on the throne instead of our Savior being on the throne, we can never have the abundant life that he wants us to have. So he brings us to that cross so we can die to self. And listen, this is something that has to be done every day. Paul said, I die daily. Why do you have to die to self every day? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you got saved and you got to that point where you died to self and you never had to deal with that anymore? Well, that's not how it is. Why do I have to die every day to self? Because I'm stuck with self until Jesus comes or I die. And I can tell you, self is never going to let up. This old self is the enemy of God and everything that's holy and everything that's righteous. And every day, self is going to do what it can to hinder me from being the child of God that the Lord wants me to be. I have to die to self every day. That is why, by the way, Jesus said this about our cross. He said, you have to take it up. Why I got to take it up every day? I got to die to self every day. Every day. I got to get on that cross every day to put self down. But not only does he bring us to a cross to die to self, but last of all, let me say, he brings us to a cross to die for others. When Jesus died on his cross, he died a vicarious death, right? He died for us. Christ died for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. It was a vicarious death. He didn't die because he was a sinner. He died because we're sinners. That's why he died. So you know what that cross represents? It represents sacrifice for somebody else. And this is what the Bible says in the book of 1 John. It says that if he laid down his life for us, then we are to lay down our lives for the brethren. Why does he want to bring you to that place of sacrifice? So that you'll die to self. It won't be all about you. And you can live a life that has meaning and purpose and that helps other people in their lives. I don't die for somebody's sins, but I can lay down my life and sacrifice to help somebody in their life to perhaps be what God wants them to be. These are places that I promise you the Lord will take you if you follow him. They're not glamorous. They're not glamorous. Not stuff we like to think about, but it's all the truth. And our lives can never get to that place where God wants to take us unless we're willing to follow him whithersoever he chooses for us to go. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, for the truth. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us now to evaluate our lives and be honest. Are we really following the Lord Jesus Christ? Help us as saved people to follow you whithersoever you choose for us to go. And Lord, if there is somebody here today that's lost, I pray that right now they'd come and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's please stand together, brother. 300.